So it's like I really only work like 2, 3 days a week. And then on top of that, just doing like sketchy shit, like selling coke out of the bar or whatever, Like weed was always kind of a big thing around there. Like a lot of weed was coming in from Canada and shit and Seattle. So it's like we were driving that shit around for a while, driving it up and down the coast.
Were you going up into Canada, like driving back and forth over the
No, people
border?
would bring it down from Canada to Seattle, and then we'd take it from Seattle to like SF, LA, San Diego. But then like I had friends that started getting popped doing that shit, and I kind of just got out of it. And then I realized, like, damn, I can just get coke and take a bunch of coke to the bar and sell it and make just as much money in like a night or two or like a weekend that I could just driving this shit. You know what I mean? So, but then I got out of that too. It's like I got to a point where I just felt like I was doing like so many things, like even like racking, that might have been the first thing I gave up because it was like, I was always like, fuck, I got money. Like, I'm gonna feel stupid if I get caught racking. And then if I'm on probation for that shit, I can't really be painting that much. You know what I mean? And so it's like sometimes you just gotta pick like your evils, And like,
Definitely.
but yeah, once I hit like, I'd say like late 20s, I was kind of over all like the drug shit. I wasn't trying to do like serious time or nothing, And but I just, I was growing up and getting older and I just kind of put all that shit behind me,
Who were your main painting partners at the time? Like when you were, and was there like a chunk of time when you're like, that was my most active time, or has it been like a kind of slow and steady pace since the
I
beginning?
definitely had, yeah, it's always been, I don't know, I had times where I was like really going off and then other times where I'd like chill. A lot of times when I was chilling it's because I was on like probation, shit like that. I pretty much spent my whole 20s on probation, either for assault charges or for graffiti,
You were getting bar fights and shit, or?
Yeah, just living in the city and just being out all the time, being drunk all the time. It just comes with the territory,
Yeah,
being a
definitely.
writer, it's like you're getting in fights, like but I'd say most active, I was pretty active around like 2004 and 5, and then I'd say again like maybe around like 2012 to like 15, somewhere in there, we were painting a lot. And then I kind of chilled because like work was like taking off and things were going good. And then I mean, chilled as in I wasn't painting trains as much. I was doing other stuff, more city stuff, traveling, paint a lot when I travel. And then I'd say like maybe 4 or 5 years ago, started kind of going hard again. Mostly like, I don't know, kind of went full circle, It was like back to just doing mostly trains now again.
When did you first link up with Erupto? And would you consider him like a painting? Because in my head, I'd associate the
Yeah,
two of
for
y'all.
sure. He was in Seattle for a couple years, and during that time, I always tend to have like one dude that I just paint with all the time, And during those couple years, it was him. I forget when that was. I want to say that might have been that 2007 to 2009 stretch, like him and I. Might have been later than that, though. I don't remember. No, it was after that.
And you guys were already like vets at that point, in my like opinion, right? Like you had been writing for like almost 20 years at that point, right?
Yeah.
That's
Probably. Yeah, it's
crazy
crazy.
to
Yeah, it's
think about,
crazy. I
right?
know.
Like
Yeah.
I feel like when I was a kid, like when I was like 15, 16, I was like, I'm gonna quit graffiti by the time I'm 21, because I was like, I just couldn't imagine being an adult and
It's
like,
insane. Most dudes quit when they're like 18, It's
right?
like, or they used to. It's like now motherfuckers don't start till they're like 30, It's
Yeah,
like,
it's weird.
it's crazy. And there's a lot of dudes, I mean, I don't even consider myself that old in like the grand scheme of things, but there's a lot of guys like my age that are still like going hard, Which is kind of.
Another thing that I noticed though, like if I look at your old freights from like the late 90s, early 2000s, and I look at joints that you're doing right now,
Yeah.
like
Just kind of a progression of the same thing, I
it's a pro
think,
it's a it's a progression of the same thing, but it's also like I've noticed there's a lot of writers where like they get almost like worse over time or something.
For
You
sure.
notice this?
Yeah,
Like it's weird, and especially with the kind of graffiti that you do, which I would call it like a traditional, like I don't know, New York City piecing style or something. And especially within that style, like something happens where they just try and take it a little too far and go a little too techie, and then it just goes in this whole direction. But you've kept it. You walk right up to that edge, I feel like, of traditional like bar style and just fucking nail it perfectly. But
Thanks. Yeah, I've always kind of just continued with the same style, you know, and it's just kind of like from the shit I was influenced by, you know, which was mostly always like old New York shit, you know. Like, I mean, still to this day, it's kind of like what I pay attention to. It's like, I don't pay too much attention to like any new graph, but it's like, I love to look at books or old mags and, you know, like AOK, RIS, TFP, TC5, FC, all that shit.
Yeah, I feel like, like TC5, FC is like the shit that kind of spawned off like the Sneaky and Hughes. I always pronounce it Sneaky, but it's Sneak.
Sneak, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I feel like, and then like, yeah, they got like a total New York City style. And then Ruetz is another guy that I would associate with. But he's like of a completely different, you know, ilk or whatever.
Definitely. He's got kind of L.A. style, but like his own twist to it, I'd say. Yeah, he lived up in Seattle for a while, too. So he was like, I mean, still to this day, like a good painting partner and friend. Yeah, I wish he was still in Seattle because he'd be with us, you know. But yeah, it's like, I'd say early on it was this dude Sense that was from Seattle. I painted with him for a couple years, and then Heat TCI moved to Seattle.
Yo, people used to, like, legitimately when I was really young, people would call me Heat TC, like they would.
Oh, funny.
Yeah, it's like a diss or whatever. Cause,
oh yeah, it's similar letters.
Yeah, sure. Similar. Yeah, and also we like similar graffiti, you know, like Heat Viper is another guy.
Oh, funny. I never put that like 10 to it. Yeah.
but yeah, man, I love that style. So for you, I mean, speaking from my experience or whatever, I've noticed that the thing that kind of leads to me linking up with somebody and them becoming like a partner for a while with painting is usually like our age and our interests outside of graffiti.
For sure.
And not so much style. Like, I sort of like collaborating with people who have a completely different approach or history or something, you know?
Yeah.
And I sort of feel like I've seen that happen with you with those two in particular, just Erupto and Ruetz come from different worlds. Sure. But yeah,
they were just, I mean, we had a lot of the same friends and they were living there, and you know, I keep my circle pretty small, and those were like the dudes that I was going with all the time. For a while, I was painting with High AMF.
With the eyeball he would do?
Yeah, the eyeball.
Yeah, or the eyeball.
Yeah, I painted with him a ton. He was there for a couple years. That was pretty much like my only partner during that time, and then he moved. But yeah, it's always that. It seems like there's always like somebody that comes into town that's there for like 2 or 3 years, and then we link up, do a bunch of shit, and then they like move on or whatever. And I've always lived in Seattle, you know. I tried to move a couple times. It never lasted that long.
What's Seattle like these days, man? Because are you I guess first question, are you like a Fox News guy or a MSNBC kind of guy?
I'm more of a MSNBC, CNN type of guy.
Okay, got you. And like, because based on like what I'm seeing on the news, like Seattle's fucked up right now.
Yeah,
like
I'm somewhere in the middle on all that shit, but Seattle's fucked, and I don't know if it's like a red or a blue thing. I don't know what it is. Yeah. I mean, obviously, like the politicians and the people in power are like, they're fucking blowing it for sure.
Yeah,
you know, and but I don't know. I don't know how you fix it. It almost seems like it's so far gone that it's unfixable.
I mean, it's insane. So I feel like it probably started around 2020, like pandemic definitely. Like, you know, George Floyd, everything. Like, I feel like I saw a lot of shit popping off in Seattle during 2020.
It was all the, like, defund the police shit. Mm-hmm. That kind of kicked it off because all of a sudden, like, all these little crimes just became, like, not a big deal, so it was like a free-for-all.
And were you painting at that time?
Yeah, definitely. Not in the city, though. The city just got smashed, but it looks fucking terrible. It's like, I don't know who any of these people are. It looks like, most of it looks like fucking tweaker graffiti, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, every now and then you'll see something, and you're like, oh, shit. But it's always like, some dude from out of town came through, you know what I mean? It's like, but, I mean, it's fucked. And I think it started with that shit, and then they had that whole Chaz, like, chop zone or whatever. Do you remember that? That was, like, the 4-block radius or whatever, where it was just a fucking free-for-all.
Oh, where, like, didn't they, like, put up a barricade and, like, took over it? Yeah,
that shit was wild.
Were you out in the streets, like, during the time? Because
I'd go check that shit out, but I wasn't really, like, hanging out.
Sure.
And, like, you know, I was just interested. like what was going on, but it was just too fucked up, you know? Yeah. I just kind of stayed home.
Have you had because I've had friends out on the West Coast that are like, no, it's like it's now different. Like it's like dangerous. Like,
yeah, it's bad.
Gangs of like homeless people will like straight up attack you and stuff like that. Have you had anything like that? Have you encountered anything like that yourself?
Yeah, for sure. I don't think I've had anybody try to attack me. But I'm definitely like prepared when I'm walking around. I always am like conscious of like what's behind me. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody I know has a gun on them at all times.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've had it concealed for like 20 years, you know, but there was a long stretch of time where I didn't even carry one. But now it's like, I don't leave the house without one, you know, it's like wallet, phone, keys, gun, you know,
What do you carry?
Usually Glock.
Okay.
Glock 19. I have a Glock 42, which is like a little 380. It's a little smaller.
Do you take it to the range and like practice?
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah. And then we'll take like the big boys and go out in the woods and shoot shit, you know, but you can't take those to the range.
Have you ever been in a situation where you felt like, oh shit, like I might need to.
Yeah, I've had to pull it maybe two or three times in my life ever. Didn't use it, luckily, you know, but it was one of those situations where it was kind of like I felt like it was unavoidable, you know.
What happened?
Let me think. One time a dude said he was going to come to the shop and shoot me. So he showed up with like 15 of his boys, and I had this little sawed off shotgun that I used to keep at the shop.
Uh-huh.
So I pulled that thing out as soon as they pulled up, and like 90% of them just fucking scattered. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's usually just like a scare tactic thing. I had, when the shop was in Chinatown, I had a situation where I had to pull it on some dude. I just told him he was just getting too fucking close. And I just told him a couple times, like, I mean, this dude looked mad sketchy, you know? And I was like, yo, get the fuck away. And he didn't. And then I pulled it out. I just showed it to him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he still like, he still didn't leave. He backed up a little bit. There's definitely been instances. We had a guy like across the street from the shop, like, fucking he had one in his pants and he was like pulling up his shirt, you know, like showing us that he had one. We were just kind of like, fuck you, you know, like, you don't think we all do too? And so we were like kind of egging him on to come across the street. And you know, the dudes I was with, they're like, as soon as this guy comes, if he fucking actually crosses the street once he hits the sidewalk, I'm gonna fucking shoot this dude. Because he had it on him and he was acting like he was gonna do something. He was talking a bunch of shit, and he walked across the street and got about 5 feet from the sidewalk and looked at us and called us like or something, and then walked away. And we were just like, fuck. But yeah, it's one of those things, man. It's like, it's so sketchy there, but it's like the sketchy people there are like kind of like white tweaker, like street dudes, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, you go to Atlanta, it's like a whole different type of like sketchy dude, you know?
Dude, I went to Atlanta during 2020. Like, I remember, do you remember Rayshard Brooks? He was the guy who fell asleep at the Wendy's like drive-through,
yeah.
And then they actually chased him. And it's fucked, because if you watch the video, it's like you could see that it was a situation that could have been de-escalated, you know.
For sure.
But I went actually, and I just happened to pass by the Wendy's. It was completely burned out, and there were just people standing there with like big guns. I don't really know too much about guns, so I don't know what they were. Like up here, like Buffalo, like if you have a gun, like you're. Yeah. It's rare, you know what I mean? Like, people don't just care. Yeah, New York State is different. But when I went down there, I was just like, this is crazy. And then there were, like, neighborhoods that I'd walk through where it would be, like, you know, abandoned houses, vegetation around and everything. Like, and people would just be walking down the street with, like, a gun, like, out in the open.
Oh, for sure.
And then, like, down the next block, there would be a dude walking to grab his, like, paper at the end. And he'd have, like, a baby in his hand and shit. And it was, like, fine.
Sure. Yeah.
But, I mean, I've never been to Seattle, so I'm trying to just get a grip of, like, what it actually is like.
It's like junkies everywhere. It's like, it's a fentanyl problem is what it is.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, it's nuts, dude. You walk down the fucking street and everybody's got, like, a straw in their mouth and, like, a burnt foil in their hand. They're all nodding off everywhere. We call it street yoga. They're all just fucking hunched over. They never fall. It's like, it's crazy. Like, a dude's head will be down by his ankles and he'll just be standing there for, like, 10 minutes and then snaps out of it.
But so like what drug is it?
Fentanyl.
Fentanyl.
Yeah. It's all fentanyl. There's this other shit they call Trank, which is like...
Oh, I saw that Channel 5. Did you see that Channel 5 thing? And I think it's Philly.
Oh, yeah. Kensington and shit. Yeah, that area is fucking damn. I was just there like a year or two ago.
And dude, people got like bloated like arms and everything.
Yeah, it's disgusting. And, like, it like eats away at your skin and they like pick at it and shit. But it's mostly like fentanyl, dude, and that shit's everywhere there, and it's cheap as fuck. Like, I mean, I remember like a few years ago when that shit started popping up, it was something like, they call it blues, because it's like a little blue pill, and it was like $5 for a blue pill, which is cheap, dude. Then it went down to $1, and now it's like 40 cents. And it's like one of those pills will like kill like you, me, yeah. like a normal person who doesn't have a tolerance to the shit. And they just
who the fuck is selling pills for 40 cents and making money?
I don't know how. Like, I mean, it's all coming from China. You know what I mean? It's a chemical, and they sell it. I think it's being produced, like mass produced in Mexico, and then coming through the border like that. But it's a chemical. It's made in China. I don't know if it was invented there. I don't know if it's all coming from there. But I think that's how it all started.
Yeah.
But that shit's wild. I mean, it's taken over. I mean, obviously, I wasn't here like in like the crack epidemic in like the 80s or whatever in New York, but it's like, it reminds me of that. It's like, I see like old movies or videos of like burnout fucking buildings and like crackheads everywhere and shit. And like, there's like zones in Seattle and it's that, but it's all fentanyl, you know?
Yeah.
It's nuts.
And it's weird how that type of like situation, obviously it's easier to commit crimes. You're not going to get wrapped up, but it doesn't promote like a healthy graph scene, so to speak.
No.
Like, I feel like there's got to be some type of balance. Like, there actually has to be, like, oddly enough, like, a police presence that you have to try and evade to produce, like, the type of criminal that might be, yeah. you know.
Even, like, the graph shit, it's all decriminalized. So, it's like, if you get caught, like, riding on something, they're probably just going to tell you to stop. They're not going to take you in. Yeah. I mean, I tattoo dudes all the time that get caught all the time, and they tell me they never get charged with anything.
They like, don't even bring them in.
At worst, they'll go in for like a night and be out the next day, but they're not going to court. They're not getting charged, you know, unless you're like some crazy repeat offender. And even then, it's like people still get off for everything.
Yeah.
Same with theft. Like, you can walk into a store and push out a whole fucking rack of fucking jeans or some shit or North Face jackets. And like, even the security guys are not allowed to like put their hands on you. They can try to stand in front of you, but they can't physically grab you.
But
cops don't chase you. There's like a no chase law there. It's insane.
Yeah, it's tough for me to
you've
imagine.
Heard of this, yeah.
Yeah, when yeah. I went there, that's the sense that I got. It was like a city of like that.
Yeah, it's
and, lawless. Like from the people who I talked to, which is only two people, for sure it was just Lunch and Arrow.
Yeah.
Specifically Lunch, it was just like explaining the shit to me and like some of the laws that allow it. Because it's allowed, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it is allowed.
And it's just progressively getting worse. Now we have, like, home invasions. We have fucking carjackings. Like, I think the car theft in Seattle is, like, the worst in the country. It's like it just keeps spreading. And people are, like, flocking there to just basically be fucking criminals because they know they can get off. Plus, there's, like, handouts everywhere. So all the junkies, they can go get, like, free needles, free foil, free straws.
Can't they get, like, free tents?
Yeah, free tents, there's free like sleeping bags.
I
yeah, fuck
they
yeah.
Had, like,
no.
Fresh tents.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Oh,
and I was like, why do they have fresh tents? Yeah. And then someone was like, they get them for free. There's a, yeah. there's a thing to
yeah,
get them
for sure. Them for it's all funded. Free jackets. It's like, yo, if you have diabetes, you have to pay for your needles every month. But if you're a junkie, you can get free needles. It's like, how's that make sense? You know.
So in terms of like you living there, are you feeling like you're gonna ride it out? You're gonna stay?
Yeah, I'm gonna ride it out. I mean, I hate it. It's like it's mostly downtown. I mean, I'm downtown for like I'm downtown every day because I work downtown. But it's like I live in like West Seattle area, which is like nice. You know, it's like I don't see that shit back home.
Yeah.
I wish I could just stay there, but it's like
is Arab like your main painting partner right now?
Yeah, yeah. Or? For probably like the last like 4 years. He was always like more like city guy and shit. And then I think he started getting into like freights more and I wasn't going out as much. And then I don't know, I just kind of linked up with him cause I saw he was doing shit. We started going and yeah, he's a solid dude. So we get along well. And we have the same kind of like idea, you know, we're not going out trying to do like five in a night. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? It's like, we'll go out and spend like 2-3 hours on one.
Yeah. Are you painting at night mostly?
Yeah, always. I mean, there are spots I could probably go in the day, but it's like, I don't know. I always just live by the rule, like a daytime spot's a better night spot, you know? It's like,
sure.
like a good day spot's a better night spot. But I don't know. Even that shit seems kind of lawless, you know? I mean, we've been chased a handful of times.
Out of freight yards?
Yeah. By like workers or like city cops.
You ever like... Cause like you know you got a couple years on me. I feel like sometimes when I see workers or some shit, like I'm not even inclined to run as much. Like I'm more
not, inclined. Yeah, when I was a kid, I was scared to death. Like workers look like big burly fucking ironworker dudes. Now most of them are probably 10 years younger than me, and I feel like I could beat the shit out of anybody. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, they're not scary. It's like, I just don't want them to, like, call me in.
But so you give, like, a light jog out of the yard or something?
Yeah, I just, like, if they see me, I just wave at them and try to act, like, polite and shit, and I just get out of their way. You know what I mean? And, yeah. But I mean, fuck, dude, I've tattooed workers. I've had workers send me photos of my shit. It's like, I don't think a lot of them hate it anymore like they used to, you know? Like, I mean, I know, I've heard of, like, writers that are workers, you know? It's it's different now, you know? But yeah, back in the day, the workers, and we had, like, because I mostly paint yards, like, we don't have a lot of, like, layups, and so I'm, like, a yard guy, and so, like, there used to always be, like, a bull, like, patrolling, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, you were just cat and mouse, like, all night long, and now it's, like, there's not much of a presence of the bull. Like, the workers don't seem to be, like, trying to run you out and shit if they see you, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just, it's different, but it's, like, I'm not trying to piss them off or anything either, so it's, like, if I see them, I'll just, like, stand on the sidelines for a little bit and let them do their thing and then go back in, and hopefully it's still there and I can finish, you know? But,
yeah. Did you, at a point, like, back in the day, like, I remember when I was getting into freights or whatever, people were big into chasing numbers, like, each year and everything. Like, people would have goals and stuff. Did you do that?
And still a little bit, but, like, I never had huge goals. Like, to me, it was, like, if you do 2 a week, that's 8 a month, and that's 100 a year. So I always had to hit, like, I wanted to hit at least 100 a year, you know what I mean? But there's nights you go out and you might do, like, 4, and then you're out the next night and you do 4, you know what I mean? But then it might rain every day for, like, 2 months, and you can't go, you know? So it's, like, it's just up and down. But I never was, like, you know, because I always wanted to spend my time on shit, maybe do a character if I could, like, whatever, you know? It's, like, a lot of people back then, I thought, or I feel like, were chasing numbers. They just have, like, a little stamp that they do the same shit almost every time, you know, try to do as many as they could. I was never really on that, you know? It's, like, I want to go out, do one nice one. If I have anything left, I might do, like, a simple one.
Mm-hmm.
Anything left from that, I might do some fill-ins, you know? But now it's, like, just one and done. It's like, you know,
you're in the freight train book, right? The one that like Roger Gassman put out. I saw that book again recently, like, on somebody's shelf, and I was going through it, and it made me, like, it shocked me a little bit, like, how good that
it's a good book
depiction of, like, graffiti on freights is. Because I feel like in my head, like, when I think of, like, freights now, like, I would say it's like 95% shit I don't want to see.
100%. Yeah.
And then maybe 5% some good shit. But also, like, back, I remember going and benching and, like, seeing an entire line come up and there would be nothing on it except maybe one panel from, like, an A2M guy or a network guy or something like that. Who were the people that you were, like, pumped to catch, like, back in the day? And are some people from now?
I remember back when, like, it was so rare to see anything on a train that it didn't matter who it was or what it was. You took a photo. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then you studied it because you were like, where the fuck is this guy from? And then you're like, oh, shit, this dude's from Albuquerque. Well, if I paint the same type of train, it might go to Albuquerque, you know? So it was like...
Did you ever get a thing where you were putting the numbers in the phone to track the cars and everything?
CSX hotline.
Yeah.
We still do that sometimes if like we have something that's unfinished or gets pulled on us, like, mm-hmm. we track it down and go find it and finish it. But back in the day, like, my favorite shit to catch was this crew TLT, the Lion's Toughest. They're out of, like, Bakersfield, California. Do you remember those dudes? Nah. Do you ever see that? It was like King 157.
Oh, of course, man.
This dude Fate, Rasta, Hash, like, all those dudes. I used to catch them a lot because we would get a lot of reefer trains. And in Bakersfield, I think there's a lot of, like, fruit and, like, produce and shit. So there's a lot of reefer trains down there. So we'd get the solid colds. You remember those trains?
Mm-hmm.
I would always see those.
Are those
dudes.
Still? Do those?
No, those are long gone. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Damn. Dude, most of the trains I painted are long gone because it's like we were gunning for those always. You know.
It's so, like, funny when I was, like, a kid. When I'd paint a freight, I'd be like, "This is a permanent. Like, it's never gonna go away."
No. Yeah.
But I never really realized how frequently they cycle freights out and, like, make new ones and everything.
I love catching those dudes. Kickin' Buds from Oxnard.
Kick is so sick.
Fresh. Yeah. Yeah. Probably my favorite shit, though, was BFK, catching, like, signed 5 calves.
Oh.
Like, signed 5's, like,
all-time. You got to see that actually happening?
All-time fave. Dude, we had a direct... So they were painting a spot in the Bronx called Del Monte, They used to get UPFEs there. Mm-hmm. It was like a brick building. I think it was like a French fry factory or something, but they had a direct route to one of our spots.
That's
so
insane.
Sometimes those dudes would paint shit and we would catch it like 5 days later.
All the way across. On the,
all the way across.
The United States.
And that's kind of how I linked up with dudes like Zine and Sect and Moan.
Okay.
Because those were like some of the first dudes I met. Like I came out here, I think it was in 98 to paint with those dudes.
They interviewed Moan on this podcast. Yeah. Him and Roger, I think. Yeah. That dude's fucking massive.
Yeah, what he's Jack now. Yeah, fucking Metal Moan, dude.
I've never met him, but I'd love to get a wall in with him at some point.
No, he's a cool cat. He's still doing shit too. Like I see it, it's like in the tunnels, like still painting.
Yeah. Still I've seen him freights. Doing shit like ladder shit and stuff like that too. Yeah. Like he seems to be, you know.
I love the tunnels, dude.
You like tunnels?
Fuck yeah.
Here in New York?
Yeah, I love going to the tunnels.
I've still never been in a tunnel, man.
Never.
Never. Like, yeah. I think it's just because of the way that, like my like, when I came to New York, I already was cased up in Pittsburgh.
Oh, right.
So I wasn't even supposed to be, painting and all here. And so I was like, well, tunnels is just a world where I feel like, you know, you go in and there's only two ways to get out. And I just never liked that. And then also I had this fear of rats that kept me out. But then people told me that there's actually not too many rats down there. So
the tunnels are sketchy, but they're like, that shit's fucking dope, though. It's just exciting. I mean, they're like time capsules. You know what I mean? It's like, I remember those guys taking me into the tunnels. I don't know where we were. I think we were in the Bronx. But
who'd you go with?
Like Zine and Sect.
Okay.
I'm not sure if Moan was there. I don't remember. And Heat was with us, and we were, like, walking through the tunnels, and they were, like, showing us, like, under the lights, and you'd see, like, old, like, Scheme and Dez tags, and they'd say, like, 1982, y'all, and, like, shit like that. And we're like, what the fuck? And they just looked perfect because they weren't, like, getting hit by the sun. Like, you know what I mean? It looked like it was done, like, the day before, and I like seeing all that shit. I mean, you know how it is. Every time I'm on the subway, I'm just, like, glued to the window, like, looking
still
yeah, hell yeah, I love riding the train here. But yeah, I feel like if I lived in New York, especially if I was younger and shit, I would have been in the tunnels a lot.
Who do you like these days that's active on the freights?
It's usually dudes from like my generation still. If I see their shit, you know, I like those dudes. Stay Two in Cuba
for sure.
Those guys are fresh. I think they're putting out like good panels. Who else?
I like Pepe and Stack.
He's always been dope. Yeah, I mean, all that shit, it's like, dude, anything from New York, usually, you know what I mean? Like, that's still, like, all I pay attention to. I mean, there's a lot of people doing good shit now. There's, like, some younger dudes. There's some Miami guys.
When you come out here, are you still linking up, and do you paint freights out here when you come through?
Not so much freights. A lot of times when I travel, I don't do freights because they just leave, you know, and it's like you kind of want to leave like a little something behind, you know what I mean? I was definitely going into the tunnels for a while with Bonus. We were doing shit in the tunnels. You know, do a fill-in. I did a fill-in with Nando the other night, you know.
Oh, yeah?
But yeah, not so much freights when I travel.
How do you feel about painting streets in New York these days?
I mean, it's, I don't know, dude. New York's a weird one, you know, because it's like there's cops everywhere, DTs and shit. Like, I don't know, but it also seems like kind of a free for all here, too, you know?
Yeah.
It's fucking smashed. Like,
I've never seen it smashed like this.
Yeah. I mean, most cities right now, I feel like, are the most smashed I've ever seen it. But again, it's like even walking around here, it's like I don't see a ton of shit that I'm like, oh, that's fresh, you know what I mean? It's like, it's kind of like Seattle. It's just like a lot of like garbage.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, same thing. It's usually if I see something, it's like it might be some older thing that like popped up, you know, like an old gate or something, like, oh, fresh. Like, but
yeah. Now I have a theory. I said it on like a earlier episode or whatever, but I think every 4 years there's a new generation of writers, because if you think about it, like generally, if you're like in your early 20s, your late teens or whatever, if there's a kid that's 4 years younger than you, you're not really going to want to chill with them that much. So there's like that disconnect, and then it just compounds over from generation to generation. Because when I was younger, it was like you sought out the older guys and you like learned from them, you know?
Yeah.
And now it's like I feel like if there's younger guys, like because of the way the technology has progressed or the pandemic happening, like the world has changed so much that like, it's tougher to relate to people just in a 4 year gap.
For sure.
So like there just isn't like this passing down of like style or knowledge or whatever. Yeah.
The
you
world
know
is on fire, dude.
It is.
It's fucking wild out there.
It is.
Like I mean, Seattle, Portland, SF, LA are just fucked.
Yeah.
You know, like compared to like East Coast cities, maybe not Philly. I mean, well, Philly just seemed fucked in like one little like pocket, you know, that Kensington area. Other than that, like I was kind of surprised because I'd never been to Philly. And I went over there. There was like an old boxing gym called Front Street Gym. You probably heard of that. It's closed up now, but I just wanted to see it. And so I like, just started, I was just like walking everywhere, you know, and I like walked over there, and right when I hit that Kensington zone where you're under like the elevated line or whatever, mm-hmm. it was just like, dude, just junkies everywhere. But I was like whatever, it was like Seattle, you know what I mean? I was like used to it. But I got like one block into that shit and I had like three different dudes try to jack me with the same weird little like trick, and finally I was like, this is fucking sus, dude. And I caught a car and I went over, took photos of the front of the gym, and then got back in the car and went back, you know. But yeah. I was like, and then I hit up one of my boys that used to train there like way back in the day, and I was like, dude, that area is pretty fucking wild. And he was like, dude, it was wild back then. He was like, that was my warm-up, was running from the train to the gym and then running from the gym back to the train. He was like, dude, you don't walk through there. I was like, fuck, I don't know.
But yeah,
there's not a lot of places where I feel like that. Like,
no, totally. I've only felt like really, I mean, prior to, I guess now, I haven't traveled too much super recently, like since the pandemic, but like pre-pandemic and when I was younger and like painting more, I really only felt unsafe in a couple of cities. Like I felt like Philly, obviously, there are parts of Philly that are just crazy, parts of Baltimore that I was like very uncomfortable
in. Baltimore has always been sketch. I haven't been there in a long time, but I used to go there back in the day.
You're friends with the BA dudes too.
Yeah, for sure.
A-Rec, Jace.
Yeah, I used to go out there and paint with those guys and chill, and it was always a good time. But yeah, there's always shit, you know, fights and fucking whatever, you know. I got in some shit in Baltimore before, but it was like 20 years ago, you know.
I did a quick Google search. I was going through some of your shit. It seems like you still got some beef that's active right now.